Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success today. We're joined by Mr. John DeJulius, the president of the DeJulius Group, and a sought-after authority on world-class customer experience working with companies such as the Ritz-Carlton, Lexus, Starbucks, Progressive Insurance, and more. His new book is The Relationship Economy, Building Stronger Customer Connections in the Digital Age. Mr. DeJulius, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh, thank you. It's my privilege to be your guest.
And of course, we're looking forward to hearing from you today on Relationship Economy. So tell us, what is the Relationship Economy? Let's kick things off there today.
Well, you know, today's illiterate are those who have an inability to make a meaningful connection with others. And it's just, you know, due to the digital disruption, it has really, really changed out there. We are relationshipally disadvantaged, and no fault of the younger generations. They just weren't brought up on didn't have the inherent people skills that probably you and I were forced to have. I don't know if I could lump you into my age group, but that's certainly, what I was forced to have. So the relationship economy is where the primary currency is the emotional connection made with customers, employees, and vendors that results in your organization becoming the brand customers can't live without, and it ultimately makes price irrelevant.
Well, I'm probably closer to your age than you think. How has the digital disruption changed business? Talk to us about that. What have you been seeing?
Well, you know, listen, there's a seismic shift happening today. And with all the benefits that technology is bringing us, it's come at a significant cost. And that cost is human interaction. And that's what, you know, it creates the brand loyalty, employee satisfaction, and just overall happiness. And, you know, technology is not the enemy. I love technology, and I am as guilty as anyone of using it and overusing it. But while technology is not the enemy, using it to eliminate the human experience is.
And that is a terrific point made right there. Good stuff. Also, isn't technology advancement in business and our lives inevitable?
Yeah. And like I said, I love technology, and businesses need to be taking advantage of it. The lack of social skills our society has as a result of overuse of technology is the problem of business leaders to solve. And the way they do that is by finding a way to reinvent their business model by marrying the digital with the critical human experience. And, you know, so using technology to perform basic tasks, freeing up your employees to focus on what's most important, building that those relationships that result in higher customer loyalty, retention, and lifetime value of customers.
Certainly great to touch on this today. It certainly affects our lives, no matter if it's business or personal, for sure. Now, you referenced the touchscreen age. Can you explain what that means?
So the touchscreen age really isn't generational specific. I know we like to beat on millennials and Z and Y and all them. But listen, we got grandparents on social media, right? And we got five-year-olds on iPads. And I'm guilty of it. You know, we are all using digital devices more and more, have less, interactions face-to-face, which has resulted in a rapid decline of our social skills. And you know, doctors have come out and said a lack of social relationships that every generation has today is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's serious. As well as, there's a term called digital dementia. And what that means is, heavy users of digital devices have similar brain scans of people who've suffered brain injuries. So social isolation is not just a millennial problem. They say baby boomers are the loneliest generation out there, but all have significant less face-to-face interactions, less, real relationships. And, the happiest people are the ones with the most meaningful relationships, and they live longer.
Also, Mr. DeJulius, I really enjoyed where you referenced mental stimulation addiction, or MSA, as we are buried in our devices versus just chilling. We all struggle with this today. Touch on that a little further, if you would.
Well, I mean, this is something I'm truly guilty of. I'll be sitting at a doctor's office waiting for, you know, my appointment, and, you know, I'll look at my phone and I'll check, you know, social media channels, and then I'll look at my inbox and you know, ESPN and, you know, a few other things, and I'll put it down, and without thinking, it can't be 15 seconds later, I will pick it up and check all those exact same spots. Like what could have changed in 15 seconds? So the whole point is like, you know, when we have an arm or a leg in a cast, and that cast comes off, we have that muscle atrophy. Well, they're saying that, you know, we're in the midst of a creativity and innovation crisis, because our brains are atrophying because we're not using them. We're outsourcing them to digital devices, and so we're using that versus just staying, you know, without a device and daydreaming. And when you're bored and you daydream is when you get, you know, the brilliant ideas. And so what I've tried to do following experts is, you know, I love listening to podcasts and you know, books and whatever. But, you know, going for a run and not listening to anything is so cool. When I get back, I have to find, like, anything I can write on, because of how many ideas that came to me while my mind was sitting idle. So we have to, you know, we have to start by building a relationship with ourselves first.
Certainly a great topic and really good information so far today. We're speaking with Mr. John DeJulius, the president of the DeJulius Group, a sought-after authority on world-class customer experience, working with companies such as the Ritz-Carlton, Lexus, Starbucks, Progressive Insurance, and more. His new book is The Relationship Economy, Building Stronger Customer Connections in the Digital Age, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, taking this even further, what do businesses need to do differently to compete in the relationship economy?
Well, they have to, you know, help train their employees on the soft skills. And that may sound basic, but only the best companies really do that. Most companies train on the operational processes, but very few train on the soft skills, building relationships. And, you know, employees are relationshiply disadvantaged today. Again, at no fault of their own, because of the digital age, because of the decline in people's skills, because we have high tech, no touch experiences. 40% of employees have a boss that's younger than them, right? And because of our reliance on the digital revolution. And all this is and very few businesses have relationship building training. And so, you know, having relationship building training for your employees is critical, because you can't skip this generation. The next generation's not going to have it. And, you know, they need to have this. That's where the loyalty is. No one's loyal to an app. No one's loyal to, you know, technology. You're loyal to people, and the brands we can't live without have created an emotional connection with them and the human beings behind it.
Another question for you. Can you share with us what Ford stands for?
Yeah. So that's the kind of the crux of it all. I love to ask people, you know, who is good at building an instant rapport with others? And, you know, hands go up, everyone's convinced. And what I say is, you know, just because you spoke to a total stranger, a client or an acquaintance for 15, 20 minutes last night, this morning at Starbucks, at a meeting, a network, doesn't mean you built a rapport. You could have been talking about yourself for that 20 minutes. And we're all genetically coded to be preoccupied with ourselves, right? I mean, it's nothing. It's just, you know, it's my flight that was delayed. It's my client that's threatening to, you know, fire us. It's my son that got in trouble at school, right? So we have to battle that, you know, preoccupation with our own selves when we're talking to other people. So I always say, if you're speaking to someone, you have to learn two or more things of their Ford. If you learn two or more things of someone's Ford, you not only built a relationship, you own the relationship, because to each and every one of us, our personal Ford is our hot buttons. So Ford stands for the F, family. You know, are they married? Do they have kids? How old are their kids? Occupation, what do they do for a living? What's their title? How long they've been doing it? Recreation, what do they like to do with their free time, right? What do they do with their time off? Are they runners? Do they go to hot yoga? Do they coach Little League? And then the D stands for dreams. What's on their bucket list? What's their dream vacation? And what is their encore performance in their career that they want to eventually get to? If you can focus on other people's forward in a very natural way, you're staying off yourself, you're finding out what's important to others, and you know that's how you really build a relationship that you become the partner that they can't live without.
Yeah, some more great input, and I really appreciate your input in all regards. This has been fantastic. Now, I've also enjoyed your conversations never and always list. Share more about that.
Yeah, I mean, we all make, we're all guilty, and it kind of falls along the lines of that. So some conversation nevers is never multitask, right? Never ask a question because you're dying to answer it yourself. Never finish the other person's sentence and never steal their thunder. Some always, conversation always, right? Remove any distractions. So, you know, you have an employee that comes into your office and says, hey, mind if I speak to you about something, How cool is it if you close your laptop, close the door, and something really cool is you take your phone out of your pocket, right? Which kind of sounds counter, intuitive. You take your phone out of your pocket and say, Eric, hold on, let me turn my phone off, and then I put it in my drawer. Well, how important does that employee feel right now? Listen with your eyes, be an active listener. Some other myths about listening is people think you should be a sponge, right, and just listen and absorb and say uh-huh every so often. They say the great listeners are like a trampoline. They ask more questions. Tell me more about that. How did you decide that? And they heighten they heighten the energy and the depth of where that conversation is going.
Tremendous right there. Really, really good stuff once again. Now, I love also the are you in your client's foxhole metaphor. Talk to us more about that.
Well, I like to think, and this is especially more in the B2B realm, but, every CEO has a personal and a professional bomb shelter, if you will. And, if we were under attack or a foxhole, if we were under attack, obviously my personal, I'm going to take my spouse and on most days, all my kids, right? The professional foxhole, I can only fit three vendor partners. Would you be one of them? And that's what you got to ask yourself. Are you a partner that the CEO of your client can't fathom life without versus, I can get another accountant. I probably get another accountant cheaper. Right? Which side of the fence? So how do you become one? A partner they can't live without. Love what you do and make it obvious. Are you obviously passionate and giddy about what you do? Your client should never meet anyone smarter at what you do than you. You got to go ugly early, right? If it's not good news, you let them know right away. And be a resource broker. A story I'll tell you about this. I have a client that told me one time that he hoped he died before his banker died. And I was like, what? And, what do you mean? He says, listen, John, if I'm thinking of painting my corporate offices a new color, I call him first. He goes, and I'm pretty sure my banker doesn't know jack squat about paint and decor and, that. He goes, but I know he'll know someone that does. And I was like, wow, that's how I want to be considered. I want to be a resource broker that my clients know I might not be the expert, but know I'll connect them with someone that is.
And one beautiful example right there. Now, you wrote about the difference between energy givers and energy suckers. I'd like to hear you elaborate further on that.
Yeah. There's a quote out there by Mark Moses. He says, are you a CEO? And he does not mean chief. Chief executive officer. He says we all are CEOs, or we should be, and that stands for chief energy officers. And I love that. And there's two types of leaders, energy givers and energy suckers. Energy leaders energy givers, they raise the confidence of everyone they come in contact with. They're constantly showing gratitude and thanks. They give everyone else the credit. They believe in others. They're there for when people are struggling, going through hard times. They're their employees' biggest cheerleaders. They find out what their employees' goals are, and they help them, you know, achieve that. They're great listeners. They'll walk through a fire for those on their team, and they practice what they preach.
Practicing what you preach is certainly a very, very important factor. Really has been some good stuff. Just a couple more questions before we conclude. Now, of course, earlier you mentioned that we should be a brand that folks cannot live without, making Price irrelevant. Talk to us more about the making Price irrelevant. Take that further.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what the DeJulius Group does. We help make Price irrelevant. And making Price irrelevant is totally realistic. It doesn't mean that you can raise your prices, double your prices, or even raise them 50% and not lose existing and potential customers. But what making Price irrelevant does look like is, based on the experience your brand, anyone I come in contact with, constantly provide me, I have no idea what your competition charges. Right? And we're all price sensitive. But, you know, if you've been like me, I've driven 3 extra miles to save 50 cents on something, not realizing I just lost in that exchange, right? But I also have a few businesses that I do business with that, you know, if I heard you needed someone, I'd say, oh, you got to use them. But if you ask me how much they charge, I'd be embarrassed. I don't know. Not because I can afford anything, but I'm so loyal to them, I don't check their prices. I don't know what other people in their business, in their, you know, competitors charge, nor do I care, because I know over the long haul, they've saved me so much money because of the trust and, you know, the peace of mind of doing business with them.
As we conclude today, Mr. DeJulius, finally, you say your 2 favorite words are give more. I like that, by the way. What do you mean by that? Let's conclude there today.
Yeah, give more. I wish I could get those 2 words tattooed on my forehead if it wouldn't look so silly. But if you want to build long-term sustainability, sustainable relationships, we got to find ways to give more. And we live in a very cynical society today. The agreement says, our you know, contract says that you have to do A, B, and C, and I'm supposed to do X, Y, and Z. Too often, we wait and we make sure the other person does what they're supposed to do before we do what we are supposed to do. And what I try to teach myself, my boys, my clients, my employees, is do X, Y, and Z first and throw in W. Even though W wasn't part of it and they weren't expecting it, always give more than what the other party's expecting. And don't have a good memory. Don't remember 3 years ago when someone didn't do what they did. You know, don't keep score. And that means if you borrow someone's pickup truck to move furniture, give them that pickup truck with more gas and cleaner than how you got it.
Mr. DeJulius, certainly could listen to you all day. Love your energy, information, your perspective. Really some super information and topic covered here today. If listeners wanted to get more information on the DeJulius Group as well as your book, The Relationship Economy, where's the best place online to get further details?
TheDeJuliusGroup.com, The DeJulius Group, and that's DiJulius. You know, you can go there and sign up for my weekly blog and you know, get the book, or there's a bunch of short 2-minute videos you can share with your team, whatever you need.
And that certainly works. Again, folks, it is the DeJuliusGroup.com. Mr. DeJulius, thanks so much for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. John DeJulius, the president of the DeJulius Group and a sought-after authority on world-class customer experience, working with companies such as the Ritz-Carlton, Lexus, Starbucks, Progressive Insurance, and more. His new book is The Relationship Economy, Building Stronger Customer Connections in the Digital Age. And for further details, visit thedejuliusgroup.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.